The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Thought we'd continue talking about our first reading from the book of Exodus today. Once again, some of the amazing stories from Exodus, where today we hear the amazing story of the early years of Moses. Okay, now recall, genocide is the law of the land in Egypt at this time. Every Hebrew baby boy is to be killed. No questions asked. So imagine now the desperation of the mother of baby Moses. So desperate to save her child's life that, hoping against hope, she fashions a basket out of reeds and sets it floating down the River Nile, putting her child into the basket, hoping against hope. You know, the River Nile is one of the most dangerous rivers in the world. Even to this day, three of Africa's deadliest animals infest the River Nile: hippos, water snakes, and crocodiles infest the River Nile. And she sends her baby boy floating down the river in a basket. Any one of those animals would have loved to have had baby Moses as a tasty treat, right? Convenient lunch. But when everything should have gone terribly wrong, everything instead goes impossibly right. Because who comes to rescue baby Moses up out of the water? No less than the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Probably the only person in the world who had the power to save his life, right? What are the odds? What are the odds? And it just goes to show you God's omnipotence. If God is for you, ain't nobody gonna be against you. God loves to show his almighty power through stories like this, where his whole fantastic plan hangs by a thread. And yet he shows that he's the absolute master of and provident and omnipotent, even in the tiniest details. So Moses grows up as a member of the royal household of the palace of Egypt, no less than the grandson of the Pharaoh. One day Moses' generation would have come to power, and he would have had the authority to change royal policy. He could have set his people free entirely by peaceful means. And you have to imagine, that was probably God's plan A, but it was not to be. Because as you heard, Moses watches the Egyptian beating his fellow Israelite and unhinged with rage, commits murder, incompetently burying him in the sand. I mean, if he hadn't done that, he might have gotten away with it. Moses, breaking two of the very same commandments that he himself would later give to the Israelites: the law of retaliation, and of course, thou shalt not kill. But what does that show? But once again, God's almighty power. Not even sin, not even murder, is going to stop God's plan. What he might have accomplished by peaceful means through the ordinary political process, God will now bring about miraculously. Nothing but nothing can stop God's power. I should say, rather, nothing except one thing: your bad will. Now, don't misunderstand. Even deliberate sin won't stop God's will from unfolding in the world. The very people who think they're the enemies of God and stopping His will are unwittingly helping to bring it about. And we'll all see that one day. But our deliberate refusal to repent and obstinacy in sin can, in fact, stop God's will from unfolding in our lives. Like St. Augustine once said, the God who created you without your permission will not save you without your cooperation. Now, please understand, this is for deliberate, unrepentant, and hard-hearted sin. You can commit a sin and repent. That won't stop God's will from unfolding in your life. You can be incompetent, you can be a screw-up, you can trip up, you can mess up, and none of that's going to stop God's will for your life. You could think of God's will for your life being like a great, big, beautiful mosaic, right? It's a great, big, beautiful vase. You can smash it on the ground, and he takes the pieces and he builds a beautiful mosaic. It's not exactly the same. It's usually better than what his original plan was, but his will, his beautiful will, is always unfolding in our lives, except for one thing, our own hard-hearted, deliberate refusal to do his will. That's what grieves the heart of Jesus, like you heard here in the gospel, where he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, all these lands that had seen so many miracles and yet had not changed from their own hardness of heart." Let's just pray it never be said of us, huh? Let's just pray that much. Another great lesson today from the book of Exodus. The extent and the absolute greatness of God's omnipotence and God's almighty power that just serves to remind us that the only thing we need to do is to strive to be as faithful as we possibly can. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints today to help us to do that. St. Henry, pray for us.